Okay, good evening, everyone. We are up to the fourth bracha of the Shemona Esrei. Ata chanein l'adam das. So let's just read through the blessing first, and then we'll talk about it. Ata chanein l'adam das. You graciously bestow knowledge. This word das is a very generic word. Knowledge, wisdom. Actually, it's generic and it's also specific. And you teach insight to a frail mortal. Endow us graciously from you with deya, with knowledge, bina, understanding, insight, vahaskel, and the article translates this as discernment. Baruch atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, chonein hadas, gracious giver of wisdom. So it's pretty clear that the focus of this blessing is wisdom. It's a blessing in which we ask and thank Hashem for giving us das, giving us knowledge, giving us wisdom. So let's go through how Reb Shimon Schwab, Zatzal, in his sefer, in his book on tefillah, how he goes through each part of this bracha, of this blessing. So the first thing that many of the commentaries on the Siddur point out is that nowhere before any of the other blessings, we are now in the section of the Shemona Esrei, of the blessings that are actually blessings and requests. Until now, the first three blessings, there were no requests in the first three blessings. They were blessings of praise to Hashem. This is the first of the section of the blessings which the focus of the section is requests, asking for our needs from God. Before you ask from the king your needs, you praise him, and after you get close with him by praising him, you then approach him with your needs. This is the first of the blessings in which we lay out our requests to Hashem and thank him for what he's given us. Of all the blessings of requests that we have, none of them open with an introduction like this. Ata chayni l'adam das, you bestow knowledge to a person. We don't start with the request right away. We start out with this acknowledgement. You bestow knowledge upon a person. If you look at the next bracha, Hashiveinu Avinu, help us to come back. The next bracha, Slachlan will forgive us. We don't say, you are the forgiver. We don't say, in the next bracha of Re'evu Anyenu, of see our affliction, which is a blessing of redemption. We don't say, you are the redeemer. There's no blessing that where you start with this introduction of acknowledging Hashem as one who bestows this request that we're asking. And it could very well be that the reason by this blessing, by this bracha, by this request that we do so, is because it is the most important of all requests. Right? Das, knowledge, or the ability to think, is the greatest blessing that you could have. If you can think, if you can use your mind, then you have what you need. If you can't use your mind, then you've lost everything. And therefore, our acknowledgement, you are the one who bestows knowledge upon a person, what that really is, that acknowledgement is really a thank you. It's thanking Hashem for the fact that he gives us this wonderful and important gift. But the fact that it is the most important of all our requests is why we start with this acknowledgement or this thank you to Hashem for doing so. If I can remember the story correctly, there one time I heard a story that involved Rabbi Noach Weinberg Zatzal. And Rabbi Noach Weinberg had a donor who asked him to visit his son who was in a hospital. His son was in a very bad accident and he became a quadriplegic. Couldn't move his hands, his feet. And the father told Rabbi Weinberg, you know, please go visit my son. He's very down. So he went and he saw, you know, he had this kind of an accident. It was a motorcycle accident, whatever it was. And there he was just in a wheelchair and he couldn't move his hands. Couldn't move his feet. But he told Rabbi Weinberg that actually he is very, I can't remember exactly, but the point strength said to Rabbi Weinberg was that he's okay. Why is he okay? So he explained because one day he realized that where his hospital room is, he can see straight into the psych ward. He could see straight into the psych ward, the ward where the people with psychological disorders are. And he noticed this one person in the psych. We could see from where he sat how this one person was just completely out of control. And the only way for them to get him into control was to give him this huge tub of ice cream. They gave him the ice cream, he ate the ice cream, and he calmed down. And it struck him, the young man said it struck him, that, you know, I can't use my hands, and I can't use my feet, but I can still use my mind. I still have my mind. And that gave him comfort. That's what gave him his spirit back. And that's the idea here. The most important thing that we could have is das, is our ability to think and to have knowledge. So ata chaynein la'adam das. Rav Schwab points out the word chaynein is related to the word mat chinam, which means for free. And that's why they translate this as bestow us, you graciously endow man with wisdom. Graciously, gracious means that, you know, Hashem gives it. Whoever you are, you get it. Whether you're deserving, whether you're not deserving, you get it. So, ata chayno dem das, you graciously bestow knowledge to man. And knowledge, and the word, we're using the word knowledge here for das. But knowledge really includes a number of things. Knowledge includes the ability to think. And it includes the ability to retain information, to be able to acknowledge certain realities. And it also incorporates another part, which we're going to mention soon, which is called Bina, which is understanding, right? With your power to think, you have the power to gain chachma, gain wisdom, to store knowledge, and then you're going to use that knowledge. You're going to use that knowledge and gain further insights through that knowledge. But the first part of the bracha, atoh chayne lo dem das, is where we acknowledge and thank Hashem, you are the one who bestows knowledge upon people. And then the next phrase is umalamed le'enosh bina, and you teach enosh. Enosh also means people, but enosh is a word that's used to refer to a person who is frail, who is weak. A person who, so to speak, a little bit on the lower level. Adam is a higher level, enosh is a lower level. As a matter of fact, the name of the descendant, the grandson of Adam, that in his generation idol worship began, what was his name? Enosh, that was his name. Enosh is a name, is a word that depicts the human being a little bit, someone on a lower level. Perhaps on a lower level spiritually, maybe even physically, frail, weak. But even the person who is enosh, even the person who is weak, Hashem teaches bina. Bina, in this context, again, when you use the word bina outside of the word das, bina means insight, understanding. Bina means, as the Gemara says, maven davar mitoch davar. You understand one thing from another. Understanding means that you process your information and you derive something more from the information that you have. Based on what you have, you go a step further. So, umalamed le'enosh bina. We acknowledge and we thank Hashem for teaching enosh, even frail man, bina, understanding. And frail may mean frail in the sense that even a person who is not worthy, even a person who may be evil, right? Even evil people have insight. Evil people have the ability to make lots of things, right? They can create evil things, but evil things that take a lot of insight and wisdom to be able to make them. But Hashem bestows this again. He bestows knowledge, das, and bina, and understanding. Everybody. This, for when we talk about Adam and Enosh, we're talking about everyone, every human being. Hashem bestows these things upon them. And Rav Schwab points out that when we talk about bina, we talk about understanding, and again, understanding that goes out to all mankind, all human beings, right? Human beings have understanding. Human beings have das. Animals don't. Animals may have a certain intelligence for survival purposes, okay, but abstract understanding that they can't do. But that is something that belongs to man. So we say Hashem bestows upon man knowledge and he bestows understanding. Rav Schwab says that when we talk about bestowing understanding upon man, and again, we mean all mankind, we mean the development of civilization. Meaning, when you look at world history, every generation basically develops more things based on the knowledge of the previous generation. One generation gains certain knowledge. Based on that knowledge, the new generation goes a step further. You start off with computers, right? And then you build on the knowledge of computers further and further and further. You have 4G, you have 5G, you know, you have all these different, you have different advances in technology and in science and in medicine. This is Bina, this is insight. This is when you take what you have and you study what you have, you take the wisdom that you study it, and then you're maven davar mitoch davar, you develop more from what you have. You understand one thing from the other, and you develop, and you actually develop and go further and further. I didn't say you get better and better, I just said you go further and further, right? The wisdom is able to develop more and more. What's done with that knowledge and what's done with that wisdom can be a different story. There's many good things that come from it, there's many things that aren't so good that come from it. But this statement, you teach frail man wisdom, again, means to all mankind. All mankind, Hashem graciously gives the gift of knowledge and the gift of understanding to develop further. That's the first part of the bracha. Then we go into chaneinu, which means endow us graciously. Now we talk about us, we the Jewish people. What are we as a Jewish people asking from you? We know that you bestow knowledge and understanding to everyone graciously. But now we have a request to endow us graciously with the types of knowledge that are unique to us. And that means the knowledge that helps us understand Hashem's Torah. We ask Hashem to grant us Deya Bina V'Haskel, knowledge, wisdom, and Haskel when it comes to Torah, when it comes to the wisdom that is unique to us. So Rav Schwab says, deya, the word deya, which again we translate loosely as knowledge in this context, means knowing Hashem. Recognizing Hashem, being aware of Hashem, that's deya. After deya, we have bina, understanding, as we said before. When you understand one thing from the other, that means starting with the knowledge, our acknowledgement of our awareness and knowledge of God, from that, the next step is to come to understand his will, what it is that he shares with us of him, what is it that he wants us to understand. And we're not just going to have the knowledge of knowing what his will is, but it's going to be bina, it's going to be understanding. We're going to go deeper and deeper. We're going to understand one thing from another and go deeper and deeper into the Torah. Haskel, which comes from the word seichel, right, which means intellect, Rav Schwab says that this means the following. If I understand them correctly, it doesn't mean another deeper level of knowledge. He says Haskel refers to the ability to take your knowledge and understanding and apply it to your life, to make it practical. That when we ask Hashem for knowledge, we understand that the knowledge that Hashem is going to bestow upon us has to be a knowledge that, yes, we study, we learn, we gain wisdom, we apply our understanding and insight, and then we use our intellect to apply it to our lives. You can know the laws of Shabbos very well. You can understand them very intricately and build up new ideas and applications to present day times. But at the end of the day, if you don't apply it and live it, it doesn't mean anything. It's not worth anything. So Haskel, means the ability to take what we learn and understand and apply it and use it, apply it to our lives. And he brings a very interesting pasuk in Tehillim to bring out this idea. The pasuk reads, Elokim mishamayim hishkif al bnei adam. Hashem looks down from heaven upon people, lirais to see. Hayesh maskel doresh es Elohim. Is there a maskel? Is there a, let's just use the word now, is there a knowledgeable, is there an intelligent that's not the word. Is there a maskil derish as alekim? Is there a maskil who seeks out God? Okay. Is there a maskil? Is there a person with understanding that searches out God? Kulei sagyachtav nealochu ein oisaytav. Ein gam echad. But at the end of the day, he looks and he has a hard time finding. What it means in this, so Rav Schwab explains the pasuk to mean this way. Hashem is looking for maskil derech zolikim. Maskil, he said, meant, haskel in our bracha meant, applying what you learn to your life. Hashem is looking for a derech elikim. He's looking for someone who seeks God. He's looking for the person who learns, and he doesn't just learn, he learns in depth, and he learns with great depth. But after all that is said, is he a maskil? Does he apply it to his life? Does he actually live by it? Does he actually live by it? That's what Hashem is looking for. And that doesn't always come so easy. It's not always easy to find. There are many people who are get very involved and knowledgeable and deep into what it is that they're learning. The question is, how much they apply it to themselves? Bishral Salanter said that every time you study a subject in the Torah, you have to study it in depth, and through that, you will apply it to your life. So, for instance, when you learn Bava Kama, the tractate of Bava Kama, the tractate that deals with damages, right? And you learn it, and you learn it in depth. What should come out of that study is that you're going to be more careful not to damage someone. That means even though you're learning about, you know, oxes and animals, which may not be relevant to you, but the fact that you are studying this subject is supposed to have an influence on you, that this that you take the subject seriously and apply it to your life. That if you study Bava Kama, you're going to be more careful not to damage someone. If you're going to learn Bava Metzia, which is monetary law, you're going to be more honest. You're going to be more of an honest person. Because our learning is supposed to be a learning, even if we spend a lot of time learning, a whole day learning, but it has to be that it comes out in our practical lives in some way. And therefore, the Haskalah, when we add, according to the Haskalah that we refer to in the Bracha, is what Reb Schwab describes as the intelligence to apply it to our lives practically. That includes the fact that when you study Torah, and then there's a temptation that tries to take you away from Torah, right? You use your intellect to apply what you learn to your actions. You can study many things, but if every time you have a temptation, you give in, again, it's not worth anything. And therefore, the haskel is the ability to use our intelligence, to use the knowledge and the understanding, and then to use that and then to apply it to our practical lives. That's what we're asking from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam.
Says discernment here.
Yeah, that's not the same idea. It's not the same idea. The discernment would mean another level of understanding. That's not how he explains it. He explains it, doesn't say exactly where. He explains Haskel as the ability to apply your knowledge to your practical life. That's what he says it means. Now, he then brings out a very interesting point, and that is a point that the mere fact that we ask, as we said, at this point of time, we say, Chaneinu meyitcha de'abin of Haskel, graciously bestow us. That means we're now asking for something unique to us. We're asking to be given knowledge and understanding of Torah. That's what we're asking for. So that's a special request, right? Everybody has knowledge. Hashem gives knowledge and understanding to everybody, every person in the world. Then there's our special request when it comes to knowledge and understanding of Torah. And that is because at the end of the day, Torah is not like other subjects. Don't be able to really fully get to the depths of Torah, you need a special gift from Hashem to be able to do that. Yes, there are probably a lot of smart people out there that could go ahead and, you know, learn the Gemara and take the knowledge and store the knowledge, retain the knowledge, and maybe ask questions and do different things. But then when it comes to a deeper level of understanding of Torah, that's not everybody can do that. That's a special gift. And the way we see that kind of special gift is from the concept, what we call Yeridas Hadoris, how the generations go down. We mentioned before, when it comes to worldly knowledge, as time goes on, people supposedly get smarter, right? When it comes to actual Torah knowledge, We actually, our tradition is that we get smaller and smaller. As much as we actually have, to do some really interesting things of applying halacha to practical situations, right? There's so many, you know, with all the new technology and all the new things that come up, somebody has to take that knowledge. Somebody has to apply, has to take halacha and apply it. That means you have to take all the previous knowledge you have before and now do your best to apply that to practical situations. And I went to meet somebody who's a very, 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 very knowledgeable person in Torah, and he made a comment that, you know, that, again, Rav Moshe Feinstein has been gone for many years now. But it's like, when Rav Moshe Feinstein was around, we felt very confident when he gave a halachic decision about something, you know, we felt, you know, he can handle it. But after Moshe Feinstein died, and as time goes on, you know, a person has to always accept what the halachic authority of their time. But again, it becomes even harder for them to sometimes, you know, approach some of the more difficult situations that are going on. It becomes more difficult because our tradition is that as much as we have to, as much as Hashem wants us to do what we can do, at the same time we recognize that there is this. We don't get smarter. We don't get smarter. Our levels get less and less. Our tradition has it that the Vilna Gaon wrote about himself. The Vilna Gaon wrote about himself that he cannot. He's not come to the ankles of the Ramban of Nachmanides. He's come to the ankles of the Ramban. If he doesn't come to the ankles of the Ramban, what does that mean when it comes to the Amoraim, to the Tanoim, to the Nevi'im? You know, our tradition is that they were way, way ahead of us. That means that the Torah that is so, so deep, they were able to get to the depths of Torah in a way that we can't. We don't have that ability to do the same thing. And that is a result of the fact that the knowledge of Torah, the ability to really understand Torah in its depths, is a gift. It's a gift from Hashem. It's not just about how smart you are. It's not about your natural innate capabilities. It's about what is Hashem ready to gift us with. Why is there this idea that things get less? Separate discussion. But the idea is that the first part of the bracha is a general innate knowledge that Hashem gives to all human beings. That general kind of knowledge that actually gets developed more and more. But when it comes to what we ask for, when we ask for a Devin of Aska, when we ask Hashem for the gift of understanding, that's the gift of understanding of Torah. And that is a special gift that comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. It started at Har Sinai and it continues until this day. But the further you get away from Har Sinai, the less of it that we receive. And this is how and Rav Schwab applies this to a famous Gemara. Excuse me. The Gemara says, "Im yomer lecha adam yesh chacham b'gayim tamin." If somebody tells you, it's a medrash. If somebody tells you, "Yesh chacham b'gayim," there is wisdom amongst the nations. Tamin, believe it. Okay. Yesh Torah b'gayim, but there's Torah by the nations. Al tamin, don't believe it. Okay. Now, Rav Schwab asks a really interesting question. The idea, it says, if somebody tells you there's wisdom by the nations, believe it. Believe it? Why do you have to believe it? It's there to see. It's not a secret. It's not a secret, the wisdom that exists in the world. There's no secret to it. What do you got to believe it for? So he explains what it means is like this. That Chachma Magayim, again, is not the knowledge of Torah. It's general knowledge. But if you're going to, to use the word chachma, we give it it just means wisdom, right? It's just a Hebrew word for wisdom. It's not just a Hebrew word for wisdom. Chachma means, Rav Schwab says, that this wisdom will ultimately lead you to recognize Hashem. That's what it means. It means a knowledge that will lead you to recognize Hashem and that Hashem is one. If it wants to be called chachma, that it has to be a knowledge that leads to the recognition of Hashem. So, if they tell you, yesh chachma b'gayim, if they tell you that amongst the nations of the world there is knowledge, and a knowledge that can bring to the recognition of Hashem, believe it. Believe it. Believe it that all the science and technology has the ability to bring you to recognition of Hashem. You got to want it. shouldn't fight it, but it has the ability to do it. That's what you believe. Yesh Torah b'goyim. However, to go ahead and say that there is the concept of Torah b'goyim, which means the concept of Torah, which is a knowledge bestowed, especially bestowed upon from Hashem to His chosen people, that you don't have in amongst the nations of the world. If somebody tells you there's Torah, there is this unique understanding of the will of Hashem expressed in the Torah that can be found amongst the nations of the world also, that you can't believe. That doesn't exist by them. That special knowledge is a gift to the Jewish people, to the Jewish people alone. And that is what lies in when we say, Chaneinu Meyitcha, bestow upon us from you. We recognize it comes from you. It's a special gift from you, and it's to Chaneinu, it's to us. And that is the Deya Bina Vahasko, the knowledge and insight and application of what we learn of your will, Hashem, of the Torah. And the conclusion of the bracha goes, Baruch atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Chaynein Hado'as, the one who bestows the knowledge, who bestows the wisdom. When, you know, every bracha ends off, you know, with Baruch atah Hashem. And the phrase Baruch atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, is always a curious phrase. Blessed are you Hashem. We're giving Hashem a blessing. Does it need our blessing? What does blessing mean? So blessing you Hashem actually means you are blessed. That means you're the source of all blessing. Baruch atah Hashem, you are the source of all blessing. Chaynein Hado'as, who bestows the knowledge. It's also interesting, we don't say thank you, right? You don't see the word thank you. Thank you is in modim, right? But in all these phrases, we make a request and we acknowledge. But the commentaries say that the acknowledgement is the point where we do are to feel thanks. We are expressing thanks. Right. When we acknowledge Hashem is the source, acknowledging Him means we recognize that and we thank Him for it. So Baruch atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Chaynein Hado'as, who graciously bestows knowledge, is it going back on all the knowledge we said before. We thank Hashem for bestowing knowledge, the ability to think and knowledge on all humankind. We thank Him for the knowledge and the wisdom that He gives all of humankind. That's one thing we thank Him for. And then as Jews who have the Torah, we thank Him for the das, for the knowledge that is unique for the knowledge and understanding of Torah. So that is how Reb Schwab explains this bracha of what's, as you see, each bracha here in the Art School Siddur has a little heading, which each one talks about. This is the bracha of das, or they call it bina, wisdom. The fact that we ask Hashem to bestow wisdom upon us and to thank Him for it. Okay, let's start the next bracha, which is the bracha of Hashivenu. Hashivenu avinu l'sayrasecha, our Father, return us to your Torah. V'karvenu malkenu la'avaydasecha, and our King, bring us close to your service. V'achzirenu b'seshuva shalema l'fanecha, and return us with complete repentance before you. Baruch atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Haroitze b'seshuva, the one who wants teshuva. Repentance, right? He doesn't do teshuva, right? We have to do teshuva, right? He doesn't do teshuva for us. He gives us knowledge, He can forgive us, He can give us redemption, but He can't give us teshuva. Teshuva has to be something that we have to do, and Hashem wants us to do teshuva, and He helps us. But he can't give us teshuva. Teshuva has to be something that starts from us and something that we do. Now, Reb Schwab explains this first phrase. So first thing he discusses is, you know, the connection between this bracha and the first bracha. The first bracha was about knowledge. Then comes teshuva, repentance. That would imply that you need knowledge before you do teshuva. If you want to do teshuva properly, you have to understand Torah. You have to know and understand Torah. Not just know. You have to know and understand Torah. If you want to do teshuva properly, you have to, of course, know the basics. But the more you understand of Torah, the more it is that you're able to do teshuva. The more it gives you the ability to do teshuva, to repent. Now, this first phrase, return us to your Torah. What is Torah referring to? Sounds like it's referring to everything, right? Return us to your Torah. But then we have, and then the next phrase is, our King, bring us close to your service. What's that referring to exactly? So you could say that the first one, so either Torah in the beginning for sure means Torah study, Torah study, and the second part can either mean mitzvahs or prayer. So Rav Schwab explains it like this. When we are asking Hashem to return us, we say, Hashem, return us to your Torah, and our King, bring us close to your service. So he explains it in the following way. He explains that one of the biggest challenges that we face, let's say when it comes to studying Torah, is the fact that we forget that the Torah that we're studying is the Torah that comes from Hashem. You know, you could spend the whole day learning, right? And you're very involved in all the studies and in depth, right? But how often do you say to yourself, this Torah that I'm studying comes from Hashem. This is His Torah that He wants me to study. This is the revelation of His divine will that He wants me to study. You know, sometimes you get so caught up in the intellectual exercises, right, that you don't stop and think, like, what is this that I'm doing? What is this that I'm doing? You know, this I'm studying the Torah of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and that's very important, because if you don't see the Torah as the Torah of Hashem, you can slip into looking at Torah as just another subject, right? It's interesting, it's intricate, right? It's intellectually stimulating, but is it different than anything else? In order to make sure that a person has the right approach to the sanctity and to the importance of Torah, a person has to always be cognizant that this is Hashem's Torah. And this comes out in a very interest from an very interesting Gemara in Nedarim. The Gemara in Nedarim talks about a based on a pasuk in Yirmiyah, where it says that Mi ha'ish ha'chacham yaven zeis, who is the wise person who understands the following, Vashadibar pi Hashem love, and the mouth of Hashem has spoken to him, V'yagida, and he'll relate it. Alma of Daha Aretz. For what reason did the land lost? Nitzasa Kamid Rabbi Oiver. It became desolate like a desert with no one passing through. This is a pasuk after the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash. The Navi says, who can reveal to us this secret? Why was the earth destroyed? Vayomer Hashem says, Al Azma Mes Tayrasi Ashanasati Lifnehem, because they forsook my Torah that I gave to them. They did not listen to my voice, nor did they follow it. Now, the Gemara expands. This question that says, who can let us know? It says this question was asked to the wise men, to the prophets, and no one could explain it until Hashem explained it. Hashem had to be the one to say, Al Azmam es Torasi, because they forsook my Torah. Now, the obvious question is, if this means that they weren't keeping Torah, they weren't learning, they weren't being observant, then what's the secret? Then it's pretty clear. What was it that was confounding everyone? The wise men didn't know. The prophets didn't know. What do you mean? If no one's observing, then what's the question? And therefore, the point had to have been that, on the contrary, they were learning Torah, and they were keeping mitzvahs, and everything looked fine. But there was something deeper down that was a problem. So Hashem says, they forsook my Torah. What does that mean? The Gemara says, Shaloi baruchu b'Torah tchila. Before studying Torah, they didn't make the blessings over it. Every morning we make blessings over Torah. The Gemara says, they weren't doing that. Although they were studying Torah, they weren't making the blessings over Torah. So the commentary of the Ran says, why? Why weren't they saying the blessings over the Torah? So the Ran says, what it means is, the Torah was not considered important kolkach. It wasn't that important in their eyes. They should be worthy making a bracha over it. And because they weren't studying Torah for its own sake, and therefore they were mezazlin. They were not careful with the bracha, which I understand to mean it didn't mean they just didn't make the bracha. It's a mitzvah. You have to make the bracha of the Torah. But they didn't do it properly. And not taking the bracha properly was a sign that they didn't consider the Torah important enough to make a bracha over. And the Ramban and the Ran says, what was lacking? They weren't learning Torah for its own sake. They were learning it for whatever other reasons, for some kind of personal ulterior motives, for honor, for whatever it may be, but not for its own sake. And when you don't study Torah for its own sake, that means that you don't have the proper, you don't give it the proper importance and value. And therefore, if you don't value it enough, you're not going to make the bracha over it properly. That's what was happening. So they're learning Torah and they're doing mitzvahs to the point that everything looks fine. But deep down, they're not making the brachas properly, which means deep down, they are not valuing the study of Torah the way they should. What's interesting is, as Rav Schwab points out, that the way this is brought out in the psukim, the way this is brought out in the words of the prophet is, Al Azvam es Torah si. They forsook my Torah. And his point is that at the end of the day, yes, the Gemara says they didn't make the brachas. They didn't make the brachas over the Torah. And the Ran says because they didn't consider Torah study important enough, which means Torah study, yeah, it's important, but is it that much more important than other wisdoms? You know, maybe yeah, maybe not. You know, they clearly weren't valuing the study of Torah for what it should be. Why didn't they do that? Because they weren't looking at the Torah as my Torah. They weren't internalizing, they weren't keeping themselves aware, reminding themselves that this wisdom that we're studying, this intellectual exercise is not just about a subject, it's about Hashem's Torah, Al Azam is Torah, so they forsook my Torah. When they forsook the understanding that the Torah that you're studying is Hashem's Torah, so then they didn't approach the Torah with the proper value. Then they approach it like other subjects. Maybe better, but not the way they should have. If they would recognize that it's my Torah, then that would have made sure that they approach it properly. And therefore, when we say, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sayra Secha, return us our Father to your Torah, right? Whether it means Torah study, whether it means performance of mitzvahs, also it was Torah in general. At the end of the day, we're asking Hashem to return us, help us return l'sayra secha to your Torah, with the understanding that what we're returning to and what we're studying is your Torah. It's not just Torah; it's your Torah, and that's a very important part of the tshuva, the repentance that we have to do when it comes to the tshuva involved in returning to Torah and to Torah study.